the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of this Holy Spirit. And the subtitle is a power gift and the gifts of healing. It's that word is a plural, gifts, because it's more than one gift, gifts of healing. Praise God. Hallelujah. We are now in the year of glorious triumph. We're in the year of God's supernatural as never, ever before. Praise God. This is the year that God is showing great favor to Zion. And Zion is the church. Amen. This is Zion's set time of favor for God to favor Zion. Amen. It is now. Praise God. And you say, well, what does that mean? It means that the blessings of God are going to come and are coming to God's people in unprecedented ways and measures more than ever before. Praise God. Hallelujah. And not only his blessings, praise God, but he's going to flow to and through his people as he has been doing, but only in greater ways. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Those things that have been lost or stolen, even some things that you maybe have given up on. Hallelujah. This is the time to believe God, because this is God's set time to favor each one of you. Amen. Praise God. That should be an amen from everybody. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, in ways that you never dreamed that God was going to bless you, he's going to do it. He's going to do it. And this is the year. And it may not be in ways that you think it's going to come, but how he does it, that's his part. That's his job. All we have to do is to believe him and to trust him and do our part to walk uprightly before him. Praise God. We're looking at the gifts. Say gifts of healing. So that means it's more than one. Praise God. And that's one way that God is going to favor and bless Zion. Praise God. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are primarily to bless people. Bless people. And so when he blesses people, praise God, he uses people most time in the earth. Amen. Hallelujah. So healing is one of the glorious supernatural means of triumph that's coming to the body of Christ, but it's not just limited to the body of Christ. Praise God. And so he wants to use his body, and that means each one of you, to bring healing to other people that need it in that particular area. Amen. Praise God. Gifts of healing. There are just as many gifts of healing as there are sicknesses and diseases and infirmities. That's just how many gifts of healing there are. Amen. Praise God. So it's not gift of healing, it's gifts of healing. Praise God. Realize that the primary purpose of the gifts of healing are to bring blessings to others. To bring blessings to others. We've seen in Galatians chapter 5 and 6, and you don't have to turn there, that the Word of God says, you know, that faith worketh by love. Our faith works by love. So we need both. We need faith and we need love to operate when we are ministering in the gifts. Amen. Praise God. And Jesus is always our number one example. Always our number one example. So this morning, we're going to be looking at the Word of God, and we're going to be looking at how Jesus ministered. And if he's our example, then he wants us to minister in the same way. Is everybody in agreement with that? When Jesus ministered, the word over and over and over, it said that he was filled with compassion. He was filled with compassion. Praise God. In other words, it even said his bowels were yearning with compassion. He had a deep inward affection, a deeper inwardly love that was flowing through him to whoever he was ministering to. But not only was he filled with compassion, he always ministered in faith. So it's important that when we minister, that we minister in the right way for his gifts to flow in the way that he desires. He wants us to minister in love and faith. The word we found out, we were looking at James last week, and the word James said, he said that, you know, we need both. Faith worketh by love, but also we need the faith and we need the works or the acts. How many are in agreement with that? Amen. Praise God. It's not just enough. You know, James said, well, you show me your faith, I'll show you my works. Amen. You think about how people get born again. It's not enough to say, oh, I believe Jesus died for me. Or I believe this. I believe he's in heaven. I believe he took my sins. If that person just says, I believe and has faith and doesn't act on that faith, they can die and go to hell. Isn't that right? Amen. So he was saying, you know, we need both. And the same is true when ministering any of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We need to have faith and love, and faith needs to be in action. I looked up the word for compassion because the word, if you read the word of God, the Gospels, you see over and over it says that Jesus ministered with compassion. And that word compassion, these are some of the Greek definitions. It means to feel sympathy, pity, to be moved with compassion. And it comes from the Greek word. I'm going to spell it. I'm not going to try to pronounce it. It comes from the Greek word, and it's spelled S-P-L-A-G-E-L-N-O-N. S-P-L-A-G-E-L-N-O-N with an accent over the O. And it means to pity, sympathize. Sympathy, bowels of inward affection. Bowels of inward what? Affection. That means you care. You have some feeling. It means tender mercies. Tender mercies. Amen. Praise God. So Jesus always ministered with a heart full of love, and he was merciful. He was loving. He had affection for whoever it was. And so that's how God wants us to be when we minister to people. Praise God. And that's how his gifts are able to flow in the way that he desires. This morning, we're going to be looking at three different examples of Jesus healing people that were blind. And so as you're reading through the word, I want you just to be cognizant of what was done, how Jesus ministered, because he didn't always minister the same way. Even when it was the same problem, he did not minister in the same way. You say, well, you know, why not? Because he was led by Father God. The word of God says, Jesus said, I say what the Father tells me to say, and I do what the Father shows me to do. So even though it was the same problem that we're going to look at, each instance he ministered in different ways for the people to receive their healing. So we're talking about healings. And how does that tie into God's glorious year of triumph? Because God wants you to be his vessel that he can use to bring glorious triumph to somebody. Amen? Hallelujah. He wants each one of you to be his vessels that he can flow through to bring glorious triumph. When somebody is crippled and you minister to them and they're no longer crippled, how many know that that person has experienced glorious triumph? Amen. Hallelujah. If somebody has a back problem and you minister to that person and they don't have to have surgery, that's a glorious triumph for that person. Amen. If a person is bound with drugs or whatever, and you minister deliverance to them, they've experienced glorious triumph. And so how does God's glorious triumph come to people that, for the most part? Through you all. I should say amen for everybody. Amen? From his body. When I say you all, I'm talking about the body of Christ as a whole. It's time for the body to realize who you are. We've taught on that. In Christ Jesus. If he says you can do it, you can do it. Amen. Hallelujah. Knowing who you are, greater is God in you and me than he that is in the world. And it's not just for a few. It's not just for the pastor, the apostle. It's for every single person in the body. It's not just for those in the fivefold ministry. It's for every person, even those that are in the pew, that may not be functioning in the fivefold ministry. God is calling the entire body to move in the spirit. Amen. That's why Jesus said, he said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these. And the time is here. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. So today we're looking at the gifts of healing. And Jesus is our greatest example at all. So we're going to see how he ministered. We're going to be looking at three different examples of people that were blind. And we're talking about physical blindness now. And even though in these three examples, all of them were blind, he did not minister in the same way. And so it lets us know that we must be led by the Spirit of God. Because just because we did something one way may not be the way that God wants to move in somebody else's life. In ministering, amen? Hallelujah. So we've got to be open to the Spirit of God. And you know, even hearing the word, can't shut down and say, well, you know, I've heard that before. I've read that before. Nope. We always learn from the Word of God. Amen. And if you know it, you should be moving in it. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Or even let the enemy say, well, you know, I can't do that. He's a liar and the father of lies. He doesn't want you to bless anybody. When Pastor Lewis and I, we go minister, when we go abroad to minister, or anytime, our prayer is, Lord, make us a blessing. We go to be a blessing. We say, Lord, we want to be a blessing to these people. That's what it's all about. Am I not right, Pastor Lewis? That's our prayer. Amen. We want to be a blessing wherever we are, not even when we go abroad, but here to you all and wherever we go. And so that's how Jesus wants us people to be. What, not what can I get, but what can I give? How can I be a blessing? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. So here we're going to see, looking at three examples this morning of Jesus as he ministered to people that were blind. And if you read the Word of God over and over and over, and I could give you some scriptures, but I'm not going to take time to do it. It talks about he was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion. And when you're really flowing in the Spirit, you're moved with compassion. You can just sense it. Amen. Because your heart just goes out to the person. You want to see them free. You want to see them delivered. Even somebody you don't even know. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. The first example we're going to look at, there were two men by the wayside. And they were crying out, Son of David, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. And the people wanted them to shut up. They didn't want them to get their blessing. But you got to be made up mind. I'm going to get my blessing regardless of who wants me to have it or regardless of who doesn't. Amen. Hallelujah. And so these two men, they had their mind made up. We're going to get our blessing today. They had heard about Jesus and they were crying out, have mercy on us, Son of David. Have mercy on us. Amen. So they were caught. And so they were blind. Now think about this. Over and over and over. This is something that Jesus did. He did not go to the blind man. He called them to come to him. Now, that was the purpose. Jesus didn't just say things or do things for no reason. Now, he knew they were blind. He could have just easily walked over to them. But he said, you know, for them to come to him. So one of the two things happened. Either they, you know, had to follow the voice of where Jesus was to get there, or they had somebody take them to Jesus because they were blind. Isn't that right? Now, there was a reason for that. The reason was because Jesus wanted to see their faith. He wanted to see their faith. So they had to do something. They had to demonstrate their faith. When Jesus said, come, they had to come. Or they could have said, oh, I'm blind. I can't see. I'm not going to go. Why can't he? Or he could have said, well, he knows I'm blind. Why didn't he come to me? They could have got a bad attitude. But no. They kept a right attitude. They had hearts of expectation and they came to him. Amen. Praise God. And then he knew they were blind. He said, what is it what can I do from you? What do you want? Again, he was seeking to draw something from them. Remember, faith must have works. Without faith, without works is what? Dead. Right. So he wanted to hear them speak words of faith, of expectation. And so he said, well, what can I do for you? So they naturally said, well, Lord, you know, have mercy on us. We want our eyes. We want our sight. So they were expecting something and they spoke it. So, you know, God wants us to see those things that we don't see manifested yet. We've got to see it in the spiritual realm and we got to speak it. Amen. Just like being born again. We can believe all we want, but we had to ask the Lord to save us. Amen? That's your faith and your works going together. And so over and over, that's what Jesus did. He wanted the people to demonstrate their faith. And they had to do something most times. And they spoke words of spirit and life, believing for what they were asking for. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. And then the word of God tells us that he touched him. Turn quickly in the Bible to Matthew chapter 20. Gospel of Matthew. Praise God. How many love the word of God? Amen. Thank God for his word. And he's no respecter person, but he is a respecter of our faith. Amen. Matthew 20. Praise God. And let's look at verse 29 quickly. Matthew, Gospel of Matthew 20, 29. And they departed. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David." And the multitude rebuked them. See, they were upset. They didn't want them to get their blessing. Because they should hold their peace. And what they're saying, shut up. But they cried the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David." And Jesus stood still and called them. What did he do? He called them. He didn't go to them. And said, "What wilt ye that I shall do unto you?" They say unto him, "Lord, that our eyes may be open." See, they had to speak words of expectation. Amen? What they wanted. Verse 34. So Jesus had what? He had compassion on them. That's love. And touched their eyes, and immediately, say immediately, they received their sight and they followed him. Now I want you to notice, they received their sight immediately. That was not always the case. Praise God. But God's word is true. We're going to see sometimes it's immediate healing, sometimes are just like that. And sometimes it's a period of time. Amen. Praise God. But regardless, God's word is true. How many believe that? Amen. So we looked, first of all, that these two blind men, and Jesus had them do certain things, and then he touched their eyes. That was the method that he used. Amen. You know, as I was preparing the word, the Holy Spirit reminded me of a number of years ago, before I started pastoring, I was a member of a church, and I was asked to bring forth the word on a Sunday. And the title of the message was, "The Foolish Things of God Confound the Wise." And I brought forth the word, not knowing that when he had altar called, this lady that I knew had been brought to the service by her daughter, and she couldn't see. And she had come up to be ministered to. And, you know, I asked her what she wanted. She said, she had had surgery and she could not see. And so the Lord had me minister to her, and she received her sight. Now, I give God the glory, the honor, and all the praise. And I let her know that Jesus is the healer. Amen? Hallelujah. We are merely his vessels that he may choose to use. So I say to you, it's time for each one of you to go for not only being hearers, but doers of the word. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. God is no respecter of persons, but he is a respecter of our faith. And nothing's too hard for him. Absolutely nothing. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. The next example that we're going to look at is, again, this man who was blind from birth. This man was blind from birth. And the disciples said, "Well, who sinned? Was it his parents, or was it the man that sinned?" And Jesus said, "Neither one have sinned." He said, "This is what's going to happen? It's going to glorify God." Amen. Now, he's going to heal this man in a different way. Remember these first two men, he laid hands on them, right? But they still had to do something. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then we're going to see here that he's going to tell this man who can't see to go do something. You know, so as I'm sharing this, so I'm thinking about this minister of the gospel that I had read about and had heard. He was a mighty prophet of God, and he had a prayer line. And this one particular day, as he was ministering to people, God said, "Hit this woman in the stomach." Now I'm gonna tell you, he had to know that he heard from God. Am I not right? You know, because God didn't always tell you. Most times he doesn't tell you why. And when he did that, hit that woman in the stomach, instantly, that tumor, he didn't know, was gone. Now, does that make sense? The foolish things confine the wise. Amen. Hallelujah. And it was, I mean, it was verified. So God is no respecter of persons, but he wants us to walk in the spirit, to have a relationship with him so that we do hear his voice. Amen. And do things his way. Amen. That just, you know, just came to me. Praise God. But anyway, here we see these examples right now. This example of this man. And I mean, in the natural, you know, people say, well, why Jesus having him to go put spitting on some clay and putting clay on his eyes, blinded eyes. Can you see some of the Pharisees getting upset and mad? Saying, this man, you know, who does he think he is? He's crazy doing something like that. But see, Jesus said, I always say always. Always do those things that please the Father. And God wants us to get to that point where we do the things that please Father God. Always. Amen. And Jesus was able to say that. I always do those things that please the Father. Why? Because he spent time in prayer. Yes, he was God as well as man on this earth, but he still had to spend quality time in prayer with one-on-one with him and the Father God. Amen. Hallelujah. So that he could hear from him. So that he could do what he would show him to do. And if he had to do that, the Son of God, what do we have to do, church? We've got to draw away every day to spend that time with God. Amen. And also in prayer and fasting. Praise God. So let's look at this example. Turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 9. Verse 6, praise God. And I'm telling you, people got, I mean, the Pharisees got some kind of upset, hot with Jesus. Because when he would do things, you know, I see he would do it on Sunday. He over and over, well, what, the Sabbath day for them, on the Sabbath. And I know that it wasn't by accident he did it. But he did it to show the Pharisees, you know, that you're hypocrites. Look at verse 9, chapter 9. Everybody in John chapter 9? And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither have this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay out of his spit. And he anointed the eyes of the man with the clay. Now that man had an opportunity. I'm sure he heard Jesus spit. Probably people were saying, But he had to decide, am I going to get upset or am I going to trust him? Got to stay in faith. Amen. Verse 7. And said unto him, Go wash. Now this man's got clay on his eyes. Anybody ever worked with clay before? Yeah, I mean, that clay, you know, if you open up, you put something on your eyes with clay, that clay going to get all in your eyes and it's going to hurt. You ever get sand in your eye? Okay, so clay's on it. He really can't even open up his eyes. Am I right? Amen. So look at verse 7. And said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Now this man had to do something. Amen. He had to obey Jesus. He had to allow him to put that clay mixed with Jesus' spit on his eyes. Then here he is, you know, with clay on his eyes, so he still can't see. Even though he might have got his healing instantaneous, he can't see because his eyes are closed. So he's got to go to the pool of Siloam. Now, either one of two things, he had somebody take him, or he crawled and got there the best way he could. Isn't that right? But either way, he went in faith, which shows you and I that we have to stay in faith. When God has us bringing glorious triumph to somebody, we've got to be in faith ourselves. We've got to have a heart of love and compassion for whoever it is. Amen? And that person has got to be in faith too. Amen? So let's see what happened. Praise God. verse 7, and said unto him, go wash, verse 7, in the pool of Siloam, which is interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? And some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. Verse 10, therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes open? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and received my sight. Faith acts and obeys. Amen. He said, I know not. No. Then said they, where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that afore was blind. So they took this blind man that was blind before to the Pharisees. And it was on the Sabbath day. What day was it on? When Jesus made the city and opened his eyes. Verse 14. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Thank you. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees then said, this is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath. That's religious people for you. This is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him, that he have opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him, that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked, and I'm going to stop right there. You can read the rest of it later on. But the parents, you know, they said, okay, you go ask him for yourself. He's of age. He can tell you. So the parents were fearful that they were going to be kicked out of the synagogue because they knew that Jesus had healed him. And the man, he told him, he said, yeah, he did it. So, you know, many times, even, you know, as you minister, you will get opposition. You will get persecution. But, you know, you've got to realize that, okay, I'm doing this because it's God's will. I'm doing this, you know, because God wants me to bring glorious triumph to somebody. And if somebody comes and criticizes you and calls you names or whatever, you know, you just smile and go about your business. Don't get in an argument with them. Amen. You let them know God's the healer. You know, I tell you in a minute, I can't heal a flea. God is always the healer. But he's got to have a yielded vessel that he can work through. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You said, well, I minister to somebody. I'm not going to share with anybody. No, you share. Because how are people going to know that healing's for today if nobody tells them? Isn't that right? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, you know, unless God says don't say anything, then you don't. Then there's a reason for it. Praise God. But we're in the time, church, where God wants his people to flow in his gifts. And you here are equipped to do so. There's no reason why you shouldn't. And I know some of you are doing that. But he wants you to do it on a regular basis. Amen. Say a regular basis. Consistently. Amen. Praise God. Realizing that it is Jesus. And always point the person to Jesus. Always tell them. You know, they want to thank you. Say, I give God the glory that he is the healer. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. To God be the glory. So we see that Jesus ministered differently to this man. He spit on clay and then he put it on his eyes and he sent him to wash. Amen. And the third and last example we're going to look at is another man, and he heals. All of these people are blind. So as you go through, you know, as you're reading the word, look and see what Jesus did. See how he ministered. That's how we learn. Amen. Amen. The next person, this person had been blind and was blind, and Jesus is going to heal him in a different way. And he had just fed the 4,000 and his disciples. Well, at any rate, that's another lesson there. Praise God. But again, turn to in your Bibles to Mark chapter 8. Say, thank you, Lord, for your word. Amen. Praise God. When you found it, can you say amen? Now, this man is not going to have his total healing manifested right away, but he's going to get it eventually. Amen. And again, we're looking at what type of people, what problem do they have? Blindness. Amen. This is the third example of someone that is blind. Praise God. This man was blind, and he was Jesus was in Bethesda, and he did something a little different with this man. He takes this man away from the crowd. And it doesn't say why he did it, but if you look at the word of God, you come to realize that there were other times that Jesus had to leave certain areas, or he had to put people out. I guess what comes to mind is the little girl who had died. And there were people that were mourning and crying, weeping because the little girl was dead. Well, Jesus had, he took, I believe, three of his disciples in with him because he knew those disciples were going to be in faith with him. Amen? And her parents. Because her parents, they wanted their daughter to be raised from the dead. Isn't that right? But everybody else said he had to put them out. Why? Because they were not in faith. And you can't, really flow in the gifts of the Spirit like God wants you to when there's fear and doubt and unbelief. Amen. That's why even when you go to minister in the hospital, you need to, if you're taking somebody with you, you need somebody who's going to be in faith. And if you're ministering to the person, that other person should be someone, that's flowing in the Spirit and praying in tongues. So one's going to minister and the other one's going to be doing warfare. And you really do warfare even before you go into the place, whether it's somebody's house, whether it's in a hospital, whether it's in a nursing home. That's what I tell you. That's what happens. Do warfare. We do warfare before we go in there. Why? Because the enemy does not want whoever you're going to minister to get the victory. And those that have gone with me to minister, you know. Amen? You know what to do. Amen. So God is teaching you how to bring glorious triumph to different people. Amen. So, with that little girl, he had to put them out because they were quiet, crying, and they were fearful, and they were weeping. But Jesus was in faith. He knew that this girl could come back from the dead, and he raised her from the dead. Amen. So here we see the same thing. Here we see that this man, praise God, wants his healing. Everybody there? Praise God. So we're in Mark chapter 8. Praise God. And let's take a look at verse 22. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. Verse 23. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, and put his hand upon him, he asked him if he saw. Now, I'm going to stop right there. What did he do? He spit on him. Did he spit on the ground, make clay? He spit in the man's face, on his eyes. Now, how many here would get upset if somebody spit on your eyes? Be honest. Amen. Praise God. You can go downstairs, children. Praise God. Get upset if somebody spit on your eyeballs. But this man had to stay in faith. He had to trust Jesus. He had to believe him. So you're seeing that Jesus did not always heal in the same way. And he did things that really didn't make any sense. How many know you're anointed? Say, I'm anointed by Almighty God. You are. You're anointed. You're highly anointed. And the devil doesn't want you to know that you're anointed. I know you're anointed. Hallelujah. If God says so, you spit. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. So God wants us to get to the place where if he says do something, we do it. But you better know it's God. We're going to spit in somebody's face. Praise God. So he spits on this man's eyes. Praise God. Hallelujah. So let's look at it again. Praise God. We're in Mark chapter 8. Praise God. Let's start at verse 22. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him. Did Jesus go to the blind man? You notice that? So again, they bring him to him and besought him to touch him. So they wanted him to touch this man. But Jesus took the blind man by the hand, led him out of town. And when he had spit on him, now keep in mind, he led him out of town. So there was a reason for that. Amen. Praise God. And he put his hands on him and he asked him if he saw. Verse 24. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees. So his healing has not completely been manifested. And I've shared with you before how I ministered years and years ago to this man who was blind. And when we got out of the church, and I was just being obedient, doing what God told me to do, and he got out of church, so one of the sisters came up and said, well, you know, can you see? And he said, I see men as trees. And so she said, well, count. Tell me how many people you see right there. And he was able to count and see the people, how many he saw. And he told her, he said, I see so-and-so and who they were. But his healing had not completely been manifested. Now, here we see this man's healing of his blinded eyes was not completely manifested. Now, this is what Jesus did. Praise God. And verse 24, and he looked up and said, I see men as trees. And after that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. So here we see Jesus had to put his hands on this man's eyes, not just one time, but twice. Amen. Did he put clay on his eyes this time? What did he do? He spit in his eyes, on his eyes. Amen. Amen. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to any in the town. Now, he didn't say not tell his family, but Jesus received much persecution many times when he went different places. And sometimes he would tell him, go and tell. Sometimes he'd say, you know, not to. Praise God. But we're looking at the three different instances because each one, Jesus did something different. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. To let you know that even though it might be the same illness, we can't just walk and say, in the flesh, well, I did it that way that time. God used me. Nope. See what God wants to do. And it may be something that's, you know, doesn't even make any sense in the natural. Realize you say, I am God's anointed, holy vessel. And he will use me mightily for his glory. Amen. And he will, church. He will. All we have to do is have a heart to yield to God and allow him to use us. Amen. And that's what it's all about. Bringing glorious triumph to people in the earth. And God uses his anointed vessels, and you are anointed. Amen. We're not going to take up time to look, but in the word of God, you know, talks about Jesus. You know, when he was in his hometown, he could not do many works. He could not do many great works. And so he only healed a few sick people. Why was that? Unbelief, exactly. Because of unbelief there. You know, probably people say, well, we know him. He grew up with us. He's Joseph's son and Mary's son. Not honoring and recognizing the anointing that was on him. And see, faith and unbelief and doubt and fear, all that will hinder the move of God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. So God wants us to realize the importance of knowing who we are in him. Knowing it's about him. Knowing he is the one that has anointed us. He is the one inside of us. He is the one that heals a person. Amen. Hallelujah. It's this anointing that flows. Hallelujah. Through us. And all of you are anointed. So don't let the devil come and say, well, you did thus, and you're not anointed. That's what he wants you to think. That you're not and that you cannot be used by God. He's a liar and the father of lies. And tell him that. Amen. That you're a liar and the father of lies. Amen. That's who he is. Tell him. Amen. Hallelujah. And tell him you are the anointed of God. That's right. Amen. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. Praise God. So keep in mind that Jesus said, I do always that which the Father shows me to do. I always say what the Father tells me to say. Amen. So he said it regardless of who liked it. And that's the way he wants his people to be. If God said, say it, say it. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And you realize, yeah, they might get upset. They may not like it. But I tell you, it's better to obey God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. And looking at the word of God, too, I've said that Jesus, you know, was filled with compassion. And I tell you, it's so important, church, for us to have a heart of compassion. You know, it may be somebody that you don't know that you may minister to. God, you may be in the grocery store. You might be on your job. And God may say, lay hands on that person. Pray for that person. And that might be somebody that has not been a nice person to you. And you don't just go ahead and just lay your hands on somebody suddenly, but you ask them. Or sometimes they may come up to you and say, will you pray with me? And you may, you know, really be thinking, well, he said this about me and he this and that. And you inside say, Lord, you know, if you have any figure, Lord, forgive me. I'll be obedient. And you minister that person. And God will cause that love, that compassion to well up and flow through you. And you do it in faith. Amen. Amen. You know, there was a man that, after we had had our house built, and he was the superintendent over the homes, and he would come after the homes were built. That, you know, sometimes after you have your house built, there's certain things that need to be touched up on. So he was in our home on a regular basis, and I knew this man was unsaved, and I had been praying for all the workers, really. And I tell you, the devil didn't like that, but Jesus did. Amen. And many times when you go forth in the things of God, you know, you might get other things that you don't like that happen. But then you just know, okay, Lord, I trust you. I'm going to do what you told me to do. And you know God wants you to pray for those that are unsaved. Isn't that right? Amen. Praise God. So anyway, this man, you know, by coming in our house, you know, we didn't have to tell him that we were Christians because he knew it. You know, he could look at the things in our home. He saw, you know, the lifestyle that we had, you know, I would offer the, you know, the different ones, juice and so forth. So he could go in our refrigerator. He would see there wasn't anything in there but juice or milk or water and stuff like that. So he knew the type of life that we lived. Now, he had fallen, and he had come in. He hadn't been there when he was supposed to be there. And he came in with a cast. His arm was in a cast. And so I asked him, I said, well, you know, what happened? And he said, I fell off roof or somewhere and I broke my arm. And he was telling me the doctor said it's going to be down so long. Da, da, da. And the Lord told me to minister to him. And he wanted me to minister to him healing. Now, this is to let you know that God does minister healing to even those that are unsaved. We serve a merciful God. Amen. Amen. And this man was unsaved. And, you know, and I shared with him, you know, the word. And but the main thing I was sharing with him was about healing and about how God, you know, is a healer. And I asked him, I said, would you like me to pray for you? And he said, well, I got a cast on or something like that. And I said, well, God can heal you through that cast. And so he agreed. His heart was tender. And so I ministered to lay hands on him. And I think it was like on a weekend. He came back that following week. That cast was off. Now, nothing's too hard for God. Amen? Absolutely nothing. Nothing, church. So that was a testimony of the power of God. Amen. Praise God. And so, you know, God wants us to be available to him. It's not about our ability. He's the ability. He just wants us to be available. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So, you know, God wants us, even, you know, those that have, maybe you don't like, you know, we're still supposed to love them. Amen. Praise God and go forward. Go forward. Amen. We're going to look in closing out at two of Jesus' disciples. And in looking at these two disciples, it shows us what God expects of us. It shows us what God expects of us. When I say us, I'm talking about the body of Christ. And here we're going to see that the two disciples, their mother had come to Jesus and had asked for her two sons for a position that she shouldn't have asked for, that had not been given to them. She wanted them to sit on Jesus's, one on the right-hand side and one on the left-hand side of Jesus when he went back to heaven. And I tell you, when she asked for that, because the other 10 were there, they got so upset and angry that these disciples You don't want it this. Why? Because they wanted to actually, if they had been given that, to have authority over the others. And they had wrong motives. Because it was not even in Jesus' power to do it. And so Jesus told him, he said, well, you know, this is not in my power. This is what the Father will decide to do. And then after that, the two, you know, the others got upset. And he said, you know what? These two are letting demons rule their lives. And he worded it differently, but that's what he said. Now I want you to turn to, as we close out, to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew 20. And when you found it, can you say amen? Praise God. Matthew chapter 20. And let's look at verse 20. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? She said unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit on one on the right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. But Jesus answering and said, yea, ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of? And to become baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said unto him, we are able. Verse 23. And he said unto them, ye shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left, it is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brothers. So see, there was a problem right there between the 12. Verse 25, this is what Jesus said. But Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles. Who are the princes of the Gentiles? Demon spirits. Amen. Exercise dominion over them. And they that are great exercise authority upon them. Talking about demonic spirits ruling them. But it shall not be so among you. In other words, saying, you know, don't let this happen with you all. Don't let the demon spirits have authority over your lives. But it shall not be so among you. Whosoever will be great, say great among you, let him be your ministers. To be your what? And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your what? Servant. For even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Amen. So we see here that they had wrong motives. They had wrong motives. And Jesus tells us clearly how we are to please Father God. How many here want to please the Father? Amen. Let me see your hands. Amen. I know I do. And if you want to please the Father, Jesus gives us a pattern of how to do it. In other words, he wants our motives to be pure. He wants our hearts to be a blessing. He wants us to want to please Father God. Amen. And if we want to please him, then he wants us to have a servant's heart. He wants us to be willing to minister. Many times it may be, inconvenient. You may get a call from Pastor Lewis or myself and say, you know, we need you to go to the hospital to pray for so-and-so. You may be getting into your dreamland sleep right then. Amen. But if you have that minister heart to minister, you'll get up and go. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Or it may be something you've had planned. Well, this is my day, you know, and this is what you do when you're in ministry. It's work. It's not about the title. It's about being yielded to God and doing the work. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Ministry is work. Amen. It's not about the title. Praise God. It's about doing what each one of us is called to do. Another thing, way the enemy comes, he'll try to bring jealousy and envy and division. Somebody be working in a ministry and somebody, and the devil say, well, yeah, look at that. You should be doing that. You can do that. But if that person has not been placed there, they shouldn't let that demon spirit exercise authority over them to call them to be jealous or envious or angry even. There should be an amen. Amen, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Because that's how they work. And sometimes a person, what they'll, you know, the enemy will do will call them, well, yep, well, I have this position and I just won't do it. Does that please Father God? No. Oh, yeah, I'm here, but I'd rather be over there, so therefore I'll just do a little bit, or I'll hast up and not do it right. God wants us, whatever area that he has placed us in, to do it in excellence, to do it as unto the Lord. Amen. In this house, every possession is subject to change. And what I mean by that, just because you are in a position doesn't mean you're going to be there all the time. Amen. Praise God. And then if you are asked to step over or step down or whatever, you don't get an attitude. Amen. Praise God. Why? Because your purpose is to bring glory to God. Your purpose is to be a blessing, and realize it's team ministry. That's what these two disciples and their mother didn't realize. It's team. It's about team. It's about doing what Father God wants. It was about doing what Jesus had asked them to do. Amen. As their leader over them. Amen. Praise God. About having a servant's heart and be willing to serve and to minister. Amen. Amen. When we have evangelism here, it shouldn't just be a few. Everybody should be a part of that. We all have things to do. We all have busy schedules. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And that only what we do for Christ is going to last in the end. And I know we all can't be here all the time when, you know, different things going on, but evangelism is top priority with God. Top priority. And that's only a couple of hours once a month. Amen. Amen. Praise God. God bless you. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, for your words of spirit and resurrection life. And you're taking us from glory to glory to glory in you. I thank you, Father God, that your people here are anointed, Lord. And I thank you for that word, Lord God, coming forth as revelation for them, knowing that they are your highly anointed vessels, fit for the master's use, and that they can do what your word says they can do. Hallelujah. And I thank you that no devil or demon in hell can stop them as they yield to you. I thank you, Father God, for the good work you've begun in this house. You're faithful to complete it. And I thank you for each one that is assembled here and those that are on their way. And I give you the glory, honor, and all the praise in Jesus' name. Can church say amen? Amen. Amen.